just sweating for sweating's sake.
Tandy, always sweating. Yeah. Always sweating for sweating's sake.
But this week, as I was preparing and I was trusting in the Lord for what it is He wants to do in our hearts as a people, like I really, like for me, waiting on the Lord and hearing His heart is something I take so seriously. And I was so delighted when He woke me up with something on my heart, because that doesn't really often happen. And He gave me this one phrase, and I want us just to touch on it a little bit. And it was, the phrase was this: obedience is better than sacrifice. Hey, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I was just like, oh my Lord, that we would be a people that just respond to You quickly, that we obey, and that it's not one of sacrifice that makes it, that feels hard and feels challenging and feels like a schlep, but it's the one where we are quick to obey. I'll never forget when Noah was born, our son, the word the Lord gave us to him was that his name would mean what, love? Detailed obedience. So I just wanted to get the phrase right. One of detailed obedience. That's what Noah means, one of detailed obedience. And that my prayer for us is that we would be a people who are of detailed obedience. That we don't just, and I think the words of the religiosity that holds us, the chains that keep us bound, those kind of things, they would be the things that prevent us from walking into the more of what the Lord has for us. Amen. And it is my heart that we would, each and every one of us, we would be walking in the fullness of what the Lord has for us. No matter what challenges we face in the natural, that actually we would be able to stand before Him one day, a glorious people that have been refined, have purified, but would be counted as worthy. And counted as worthy. And so when I was thinking on this phrase or this, it is better, what I choose you, I want your obedience better than sacrifice, I was reminded of a story in the Old Testament. And maybe we can look at it together. And I'm going to just give you some of the context. And it comes out of the first book of Samuel from chapter 15. And I've given the whole scripture there, so maybe you can, I don't want us to read through the whole thing, really, but actually put it up, Celine. But can you put up a few verses at once, or is that possible? And so here we've got Samuel, the king of Israel, who's been anointed, sorry, Saul, the king of Israel, has been anointed by Samuel to lead the people. And we have the story of how he's instructed to go and devote a tribe of people to destruction, the Amalekites. And we think, yes, we serve like this hectic God that was sending the Jews off to battle in Israel. But backstory is the Amalekites that actually attacked the Israelites as they were coming to the promised land and actually had killed and destroyed many, many Israelites. And so it was almost like God said, you know what? These guys came against my anointed ones, and I want to take them out. And he gets Saul to rally the troops. He gets them together, and I think there's over 2,000 or so men that he gathers. Let's just read it quick. The Lord sent me to anoint the king over his people. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, blah, blah, blah. I've noted what Amalek did to Israel. So there's that thing. It comes in of how they opposed them when they came out of Egypt. So there we see how they were being... they had been taken out. Now go and strike the Amalekite, devote them to destruction, all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man, woman, child, infant, ox. That's quite hectic. He instructs them, and I think for some people who think, yes, he's quite a bloodthirsty God. But actually, I'm not going to go into too much, but here he instructs the Saul to go and destroy the Amalekite army. Let's carry on. So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot. 10,000 men of Judah, and Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So some guys get a bit of a breather. You know, they get a way out because they showed the Israelites some kindness. Next verse. So I'm rushing through it a bit because I don't want to, this is quite a large portion of scripture, and I don't want us to get stuck on here too much. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is the east of west, east of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Okay, here we start to see him deviating from the original plan by taking Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and bested the sheep and oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But hang on a sec. But a few verses before that, they were told to devote them to destruction. And now he's not obeying. Suddenly we see a deviation in the plan. He thinks he knows better. He thinks, hang on a sec, I'm going to take the king of Agag because actually that was what they would do. They would actually take the king in most wars and they would parade them around the people. They would humiliate them. And they would sometimes do some terrible things to them publicly so that the people could see how they destruct. So actually he was doing what he thought was the best thing. And even taking all this cattle, he's going to bring them, and now we're going to sacrifice them to the Lord. We're not just going to kill them out in the field. We're going to bring them back and sacrifice. But that wasn't what God asked. Let's carry on. But then the word of the Lord comes to Samuel. Now, you can imagine Samuel's this incredible man that really loves the Lord. He says, and this is what the Lord says to him, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he's turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. There's the Lord just speaks to him, and now he's carrying this weight. Man, you can imagine how he feels. I anointed this guy king, and now the Lord is saying he's turning his back on him. Like, just imagine what he was going through, and his anguish before the Lord. And Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be you to the Lord. I performed the commandment for the Lord. He's deceived. Like, he thinks he did what he was supposed to have done. But he says, I've done what the Lord instructed me to do. But Samuel says to him, he says, what is this bleating of sheep in my ears and this lowing of oxen I hear? And Saul said, they have brought for them the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have devoted for destruction. And Samuel says, stop. I want to tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, speaks. And Samuel said, though you are a little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you of king of Israel. So he just suddenly stops the boat and he says, the Lord anointed you. He made you leader of Israel. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that? And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? I'm sure at this point Saul was quite confused because in his deceived place, he thought he had done what was right. But here it takes Samuel to just point out and said, hang on a sec. The Lord gave you a very clear instruction, and you haven't followed through. And Saul said to Samuel, I obeyed his voice of the Lord. I've gone on the mission of which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag. Did God actually ask him to bring Agag? A little bit deceived, yeah, kind of thing. And have I devoted the Amalekites to destruction? But the Lord took the spoil, but the people took the spoiled sheep and oxen and the best things and devoted to destruction to sacrifice the Lord. So he thinks he's done a good thing. Like, I mean, this is what we do. We take the spoils and we sacrifice it to God. We bring the king to the people and we parade him around. We humiliate him. So I've done what should be done. And Samuel says to him, has the Lord as great delight in your burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to listen than the fat of rams. Let's just pause on that scripture. Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, it's better to obey the voice of the Lord than all these sacrifices. He says, really, what have you done? I told you to obey me. I told you to follow my instructions, and you've gone and done what you thought was good. And actually, it was good, because that's what they were. That was the way they followed the protocols, kind of thing. So it wasn't a bad thing what he was doing, but it wasn't in that moment what the Lord had asked him to do. If the Lord hadn't spoken specifically, he would have followed the protocol. It was right. Let's carry on. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. Yes, now he gets harsh with him. I mean, you've rebelled. Suddenly he turns on the pressure. And presumption is an iniquity and idolatry. Yes, I've never read that before. Presumption. Don't presume to know better than the Lord. It's actually setting yourself up higher than the Lord. Don't presume. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you as king. Let's carry on. Did I give you the rest? Let's stop there then. But as you then, just as the story unfolds, we see how Samuel gets Agag, cuts his head off, and he burns all that stuff. He destroys everything. And says, this is what the Lord actually told you to do. You haven't obeyed. And so as I was reading that, I was thinking, yes, it's quite a meaty portion of Scripture. I'd encourage you, go and read it again. Take your time through it. Just see what the Lord is saying. But I felt in this moment that the Lord is calling us to be a people of obedience, detailed obedience, more than just the people who do what we think is the right thing to do, because that's how it's been done, or that's how we've always done things. But he's calling us to be a people of detailed obedience. Because for me, when I look at sacrifice versus obedience, for me, obedience speaks of, let's look at sacrifice, speaks out of a place of just doing things maybe religiously, doing things maybe because that's what we've always done, or because everyone else is doing, and because that's been the protocol. Like, they go to church on Sunday, that's what they do. They get on a team, they serve, because that's what they do. They bring their sacrifices, they come up front and we stand and we dance and we scream and we shout, because that's what we do. But he's actually looking for a position of the heart. He wants our hearts. Yes, he wants all these other things, but first and foremostly, the Lord wants our heart. And for me, obedience speaks of a deep, intimate relationship with God. And as I was just mulling that over, I thought, yes, it feels like, Lord, I felt like I shared this a little while ago, like on being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, because, I mean, that basically is, let's be obedient and let's just hear what the word of the Lord is, but be putting it into practice. But I felt like God's wanting to take us deeper. Deeper into intimacy with him, deeper into relationship with him, in order for us to have his heart, for him to have our hearts, and so that when he asks and when he instructs, we actually don't question him. We go for it, and it was just reminded a little bit of the journey that I've walked over the last 15 years. I remember it was about 2010. Part of Josh Jen, part of the eldership in Josh Jen. We'd been on team already for about 6 years, I think it was, or so. And just serving on the team of Josh Jen with Andrew, there were about, I think at that stage, there were 10 or 11 elders. And so we would meet regularly. And I've always had the heart to serve. I've always had the heart that, Lord, I'm ready. I'll go wherever you want. And in one of our meetings and that, it was brought to our attention that a church in Mossel Bay that had been journeying with us for many years was just going through some real challenges. The leadership was taking knocks. They had started a building project that had really just come to a standstill. And the leadership of that church were just really tired and weary. And we needed to help. They were asking for help. And so just in lots of prayer and just time before the Lord, Andrew and the guys felt that the best move for this church would be literally to move that leadership couple out of the congregation and to send in a new couple to go and lead the work and take it forward. And the couple that had been leading for the last 15 years needed to actually, almost in a sense, go into hospital treatment kind of thing, where they could just get brought to health again. And we stuck up our hands and said, you know, we were always like that. We'll do it. We're always keen. We'll always do it. And in that moment, there was a sense of actually that the Lord was asking us to go. And Andrew phoned me a couple of days later. He said, Chad, are you serious about it? I know you always stick up your hand. You're always that kind of guy. But are you willing? Would you go? And I said, you know, Andrew, this isn't a hard one for me, actually, because the Lord needs us. And you're asking me, and I'm ready. We'll go. We'll go. We'll go and serve. And I think in that place of our life, it was challenging in that, we had to leave our friends behind. We had to rent out our house. We had to make a big upheaval and take our three young, small kids with us. I think Christy was about 9 months old at the time, kind of thing. And the Lord asked us to move, and he asked us to relocate for his church. And we came in there. The couple were sent to Cape Town. We came alongside the leadership there. And we had and enjoyed the most incredible favor of the Lord for about a year. And just seeing how the Lord restored this church, brought it to health. But it started with our obedient step of going. It wasn't hard. It wasn't a difficult thing that we were asked of. We went willingly. But then I was asked something harder. I was asked to step down from leading that congregation and support another man, as I spoke a little bit about earlier. And so Monet came, and we felt that he was the guy to lead. And so as hard as it was for me, it actually, I knew it was the Lord. The Lord was asking that of me to just step aside and let someone else take the baton, as we mentioned, and that could actually take the church onto greater things than what I could have. And I was like, God, it's not about me. It's about you. And so we did that, and we came onto Monet's team, and we spent the year on his team, and it was incredible. I learned so much. Suddenly, again, playing on his team, and still, Monet is an incredible blessing. And I mean, what he accomplished over the next 8 to 10 years is just incredible with the help of the team around him and just being led by the Holy Spirit. And so now today, Mossel Bay is 3 congregations, an AM, a PM, and Hartenbos, and just such a healthy congregation where there's life, where there's people coming to know the Lord on a daily basis. But then the Lord asked me another very, very hard thing. He asked us to move to Oudtshoorn. I could hear the sniggers. He asked us to move to Oudtshoorn. And again, not in a position of leading the congregation, but in a position of just serving another man on his team. And you know what? As hard as it was, I was like, God, you're asking. And the reason why it was easy for me to say yes in each of those moves was because I knew what the Lord would do. It wasn't a sacrifice. As hard as it was in the natural, in the spiritual, it was so easy. Because my heart was positioned in a relationship with God. And I've developed a relationship with him over the years. And so we went to Oudtshoorn. Fortunately, it wasn't a long stint, but it was a hard stint. And then we were asked to go back to Cape Town. And that was even harder. For me to move from Oudtshoorn back to Cape Town, well, actually not from wherever, but to go back to Cape Town was probably the hardest thing I had to do. I wanted to go back to Mossel Bay. I wanted to go where we had good friends, where there was surf, where it was a small town. I love small town. I like, please, Lord, don't send me back to Cape Town. And Andrew asked, Chad, will you go? And so in that moment, I will be honest with you, I think there was a measure of actual sacrifice. And maybe I had pulled my heart away from the Lord a little bit and going, because of the season we had just come through, I'd maybe grown a little bit burnt. And so often we go through these times where we get hurt by leadership. I was hurt by leadership in that season in Oudtshoorn. I was frustrated. And Josh Chen, that happens. Yes, it happens. I was misunderstood. How many of us have been misunderstood by church leadership before? Yes. I was offended. I offended. I was like, God, you asked me to go. And so now suddenly there's this tug in my heart kind of thing. What are you asking? And so we were asked to go back to Cape Town. But in that moment, I knew that God would be in it. I had to adjust my heart. I had to just find that place where I could pull and tuck in under his wing. And so we went back to Cape Town for a further 5 years. And oh my goodness, what a fruitful time. What a fruitful time. As I surrendered my heart to the Lord and to what Andrew was asking of me as one of the elders, we probably had the most fruitful time to that point of our lives. We got involved in the music, in the worship ministry. He started to oversee the worship across Josh Jen, working with teams of guys, organizing worship conferences, just training, equipping times across the congregations. We saw Josh Jen grow from 11, 12 congregations. I think by then it was about 15 to 30 congregations. And just suddenly there was just incredible fruit and just what God was doing. It was a beautiful time, the relationships that he gave us. And I just saw my heart knitting in again with the Father and going, thank you, Jesus, that be able to sit at your feet and find you. And then about 7 years ago, we were asked to relocate again. And at this point, I was like, absolutely, I will go wherever the Lord asks. It wasn't hard. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was with great joy. And because I learned to trust in the Lord, it wasn't because it was George. It was because the Lord, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't too keen on George that much because it was away from the ocean. Because I love to be near the sea. I was hoping it would be something just, I actually had hoped it would be in the Kruger Park, like that kind of thing. But even though I don't, that's my second love, my two loves, the ocean and the Kruger kind of thing. But the Lord had a better plan for us, and He asked us to come here. He asked us to come here and relocate. And so out of that step of obedience, I can now honestly say, if I look back on the last 6 years that we've been here, the faithfulness of our Father, of this congregation, of the PM congregation, has been mind-blowing. What we're walking in now, and what many of you are walking in now, has come not out of sacrifice, not out of the sacrifice of laying down things, but out of obedience. You know that many of you are walking in favor now because of my obedience. That's like, what? How's that possible? Well, a lot of what I'm walking in is because of Andrew's obedience, actually, as well. And so we have this spacious place where we can come together, where we can worship freely, where we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead, because you've seen and we have followed men that have obeyed the Lord. And so that is the heart of this, is that as we obey and as we position our hearts to obey the Lord, He brings blessing and He brings favor. So I do have some notes. I think I just really want to maybe just tie it into a few things just that would just help us as we realize the significance of obedience and why it surpasses any act of any sacrificial act, thank you, any outward act, and why it's so more important that we. I'm old school still. I don't like my laptop. Kind of thing. That confuses me. I'm a paper man. I think firstly, when we align our hearts with God, when we align our hearts with His will, we see how that pleases Him. It strengthens our relationship with Him. In John chapter 14, it says, verse 23, it says, let's see what it says. It says, if you love me, you will walk, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, love speaks of a deep intimacy. It's not just if you like me, if you think I'm a cool guy. If you love me, it talks of a strengthening of relationship. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper and to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. But that thing, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. My Father, if we obey His word, it's an expression of our love. I remember as a dad training our children, and the kids love this story, is I often used to say to them, if you love me, you will listen to Dad. And then, yes, Dad, if we love you, we'll listen to you. And then I'd get to a point, I say, you know what? You don't love me anymore. And they, what do you mean, Dad? You don't love me anymore because you haven't done what I ask you. What didn't we do, Dad? I said, you didn't pick up dog poo this morning. I said, you didn't listen. They're looking at each other. It's still a challenge in our household. Still training them. But I used to not tease them. I used to just come alongside and say, if you love me, you'll obey my word. Hey? If you love me, you'll obey my word. You will keep my commands. And I've asked you to do something. If you don't love me, if you don't do what I ask you, actually showing that you don't love me. That's quite hardcore. Let's put that scripture again, Celine. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Obedience deepens our relationship with God. It builds trust with Him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, verse 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. When we obey God's commands, even when it doesn't make sense, It demonstrates our trust in his wisdom and his sovereignty. Yeah, oh, there's that verse. Thank you. I didn't actually read the second part. I just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And that ties in even this morning during our time as elders. Nardis had this word. He felt like the Lord was wanting us to go straight through things, actually, not round. He didn't know what I was preaching out. Actually, a couple of things you said this morning, Nardis, lined up with my preach. Actually, it's quite amazing. Trust in the Lord. Obedience builds trust. Do we trust the Lord? Do you trust your leaders? I've had some guys say, you know, Chad, we can trust you, but we can't trust Andrew because we've never met him. And I always want to challenge that. I'm saying, actually, you know what? If you can trust me, you can trust Andrew. Like, change your mindset. Andrew, yes, you don't know him. You haven't gotten to know him. Some of you just heard him in name. But I have known him most of my life. I've followed him. He has led me well. The very fact that I'm here is because he trusts me. And so we need to learn to trust the Lord. You know that obedience actually reflects the example that Jesus set for us. Let's have a look at that scripture in Philippians from chapter 2. I think I gave you from verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a man, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Our obedience reflects Christ's example. He was obedient. He was obedient to the Father. And how many of you know that it wasn't easy for him to obey the Father? We've often heard of there's one time when Jesus' will didn't line up with the Father's will. Did you know that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was there before the Lord, he said, take this cup, Lord, please, if there's any other way, I don't want to go through this. But your will, not my will, be done. Your will. He was obedient, even to death. And in that, it's the next verse. He says, therefore, because of his obedience, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. I love that scripture. I love that scripture. That's one of my favorite scriptures, that whole second Philippians. You know that obedience guards our hearts against idolatry. What's one of the greatest idolatry is self-worship, having idols, things that are not important. That it says, if you love, I don't think I gave you the scripture in Exodus, but don't worry, don't. It says obedience. It says God commands his people not to have any other gods before him. There, he actually gives them an instruction to not have any other gods. So in being obedient to him, there should be no other gods. Obey him, and other things will fade into insignificance. You know, obedience also serves as a powerful witness of Jesus. He instructed his disciples to let their light shine. In Matthew, he talks about it, so that their deeds may be seen and bring glory to God. You know that our obedience can inspire others to be righteous and others to seek God? I heard that a couple of times, that when people would see what we were doing, it's suddenly going, I'm telling you what, that inspires me to obey even more. How many of you have ever inspired when you've seen someone just be obedient like that? When you've seen someone actually come out to the front and they take the step of faith and they're obeying the Lord, suddenly it gives you faith. Actually, it inspires. It stirs up something in our hearts. It's a witness. in being obedient, we actually fulfill God's purpose in our lives. In Ephesians, he says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us." Walking in obedience positions us to fulfill God's work. I mean, that's amazing. Like, it's like if it hasn't sunk in by now, then I trust that over the next while, as you meditate on what it means to be obedient, that it'll grip your heart. Because our heart as elders, as those that follow Jesus, is for our lives to be fruitful and to actually walk in His blessing. I mean, I desperately want to walk in His blessing and His favor. And I'm not talking about having lots of money and having flashy cars. Like, for me, that's this wereld so goed, jong. It's worldly stuff. It actually just takes us away. It distracts us from. I've seen that. There's been times in my life when I've had money through opportunities, and I tell you what, suddenly the bug bites, and you get this. What do we say? It's like, I can't think of the word now. When you get this like shopping, like shopaholics, you know, just want to go shopping. It's like it brings so much satisfaction. Now I've got money, and but it actually what it does is it takes my eyes off Jesus. And there's so much more things that the finances could be used for. But I've realized the blessings that come with obedience actually are so much more. We see it throughout Scripture. And actually, there's a lot of Scriptures that talk about how obedience to the Lord brings so much blessing, so much favor. And why? Because it pleases His heart. I want to get back to what I started with. It's about that relationship, that intimacy with Him. As parents, nothing pleases us more when our children listen. Am I right? Hey, nothing pleases us more when our children respond. I think I was listening to a friend of mine share that, I think it was a Trevor. I think I was listening to something you said about, was it Pepper at school, at dancing? She came to you and said, no, sorry, it wasn't you. I'm getting confused now. It was my brother. You looked like my brother. I was trying to remember where I heard the story now, because my brother was sharing the story of how his daughters came to him and said, "Dad, you know that we're the only ones at ballet that actually listen to the teacher." And that made him so proud. There's these little 8, 9-year-olds coming to him and saying, "You know what, Dad, the teacher said we're the only ones that listen." And he said to him, "Well, why do you think that is, that you're the only ones that listen?" And she just turned to him and she said, "It's Dad, because you've taught us to obey you. You've taught us to." That's a little 8, 9-year-old going, having a realization, because something out there, and the blessing in that is that actually the teacher can work well with them. They're learning, they're growing so much quicker because they're responding. And I think when we are obedient, we do grow so much quicker. When we're quick to respond, and when we learn quickly and we follow the instruction quicker, we get it and we grow it, because it also then helps us go into the next thing. Because so many of us are going round and round mountains. And I'm just going to drop something. Maybe we're going round and round mountains because we haven't been obedient. We keep on doing things our way. But you know, the reward of obedience for me is eternal. It's actually eternal. Eternity with Him. As much as He will fulfill His purposes in us on this earth right now, as much as we will model Christ-likeness, as much as we will avoid consequence of disobedience by obeying Him, as much as we will be a people that imitate Jesus, as much as we have this intimacy with Him, I long for eternity. I live with eternity in mind, spending eternity with my Lord and Savior. And that should be our focus, actually, is spending eternity with Him. Why? Because He died for us and He loves us. He longs for us to be with Him. And so just very simply, like, can we obey Him? Can we listen to Him? Can we be quick to respond? And knowing that it's actually, He prefers obedience more than our sacrifices. If we're just coming to church out of a ritualistic thing that we do every Sunday, If we just come into community just because that's what the church preaches, if we're just giving our tithe because that's what we have to do, if we're just serving in the kids' church or serving in the worship because that's what we've got to do, if we're opening our homes because that's what gets done, and we don't do it with the right heart's motive, it's actually just a terrible sacrifice. Something that the Lord goes, you know what, that's not what I asked for. I want your hearts. I want your hearts. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning and I don't know where you're at. But the Lord wants your heart. He desperately wants your heart. He doesn't need your heart, but He wants your heart. And you may have been saved all your life. I mean, I've been saved and probably close to 43 years I've walked with the Lord. I came to know Him at a very young age, like many of these youngsters around us today, having given their lives to the Lord. But I've realized that I need to be giving my heart to Him every day anew. It's not something that I did 43 years ago, and now I can carry on living my life as I please. I have to daily give my heart to Him. And it's a choice I make. It's a choice I make. I choose to be obedient. I choose to surrender to Him. I choose to sit at His feet and enjoy fellowship with Him. And so that is what I want to leave you with. And I really want to ask that maybe you, as you're sitting here this morning, maybe you haven't given your heart to Jesus. This morning may be an opportunity for you to give your heart to Jesus. And not so that you're going to get anything out of return. It's actually, we're going to give our heart because we are so grateful and thankful for what He did for us on the cross. Because He died for us. He gave of Himself for us. He died so that we would never have to be separated from Him. Sin is a terrible thing. Disobedience from God is a terrible thing. It separates us from Him. It keeps us at an arm's length. And I never want any one of us to be separated from Him. Our heart is that we would all come into a place of relationship with Him. And so maybe you're here this morning and you've never, ever given your heart to Jesus. And so there will be an opportunity in the next few minutes for you to do that. And maybe you have given your heart in the past, but your heart has grown cold. And your heart has grown like a little bit, like the fire's gone out. I was making a fire last night and I was watching. I've got these two handles. Like if I push it in, the fire roars into flame. If I push it in, the flame dies. It's quite cool watching. You can watch a flame burn fast or slow. It's very interesting. Sorry. But maybe in your life, the flame is burning so slow. It's actually the fire's about to be snuffed out. The embers. And this morning, even during the prayer time, the word came of, Lord, set a fire in our hearts. Set a fire in our hearts that we would burn. Because you know what? When that fire starts to burn dimmer and quiet, the heat gets less. The moment the flames are burning bright and fast, the heat gets more. I had to step back. Maybe you're burning just put, you know, just simmering there. It's a yellow flame. You're not a blue flame. You know the difference. Blue flames are hotter. And so I really would encourage you this morning that even as we've just poured out our love to the Lord in worship, as we've poured out our praise and we've had a praise party in a sense, but there's something that your hearts would be just touched and going, actually, you know what? The flames got cold. The flames got dim. The gas is running out. Can someone change the gas bottle quickly? Let's just close our eyes together. I'm just going to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to ask us to respond. And so why don't we just, let's pray together. After your Lord Jesus. Why don't you say after me, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that you were obedient for me. That I could receive eternal life. And this morning I want to obey you. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I want to surrender all to you. I'm sorry for disobeying you. I'm sorry for doing things my own way. Would you please forgive me? Please come and take my heart. I give it to you. I surrender to you. You know that as we've said that prayer together, something incredible happens, that God actually does that. He forgives us. And so maybe you sitting here this morning and you have never prayed that prayer. You have never given your heart to Jesus. With every eye closed, can I ask you just to boldly stick up your hand? You don't need to be afraid of anything. You don't need to be ashamed because Jesus, He died for you. And He rose on the third day. And so if you here this morning never given your heart to Jesus, now's an opportunity. And you know what? I will do this every Sunday as often as I remember because it's a place that's safe. It's a place where you're surrounded by people that will come around you and pray with you and encourage you and help you along in your walk. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never given Him your heart, is there anyone here? Just last call. And then for the rest of us, is there anyone? Did I miss anyone? Don't want to miss the opportunity. Maybe just for the second group of people, I think the words this morning have come quite a few times of the chains and the things that are holding us back, captive, and maybe even you're feeling the challenges of life. And maybe it's because you haven't actually totally surrendered to Jesus. You may have given your life before at some point in your walk and some point in your journey. You gave your life to Him, but actually right now, if you had to take stock of your life, the fire is not burning bright. You're taking a lot of wind in the face, and it's because possibly you've stepped out of family, you've stepped out of the life of the church. Maybe you're walking in sin, but you're feeling the flack. You're feeling the frustration. You're feeling the confusion. There's doubt. There's condemnation, feeling guilty. And if that's you this morning, I'd love us to pray for you as well. So even in this place, just with eyes closed, maybe we can, if that is you, why don't you just make your way to the front. And I'd love for us just to pray with you because there's a sense that you know that you've slipped out of His purpose for your life because there's been a measure of disobedience. He's been telling you to do things and you haven't been doing things. He's been asking you and you just can't because it's too great a cost. It might require too much of you. But my friend, I'm telling you now, your life is worth so much. That's why He died for you. Just examine our hearts in this place. And just as there's a sense that you've maybe just missed the mark, just come and respond. Maybe you want to kneel in front of in the front here and just meet with the Lord. Let's just do that together. Maybe you've even been caught up in just the doing of things, just going through the motions, and you've actually lost the Father's heart. You've just, you know, just we've spoken about it before, even that one degree off is enough. Now just lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, for those of us who have just grown cold and just almost stepped out of alignment with you, Lord, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit you would bring a conviction because I know it is your desire that we each and every one of us walk in the fullness that you have. And so just where we're at in our seats and that you would meet with us right now. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray.